Next time on Will It Blend?
Gar.
Oh, shit.
Next time on Will It Blend? Gar's King Juggler Ring.
No, you know how much that cost me?
I thought you were going to say Gar's Jugular, which is worse.
I mean, right that too.
Right in the juggler, just like my dad does.
Oh, no, I have that's
a,
my deck.
I have a Gashagear tool. I have a holder. Kimiwaza.
Kimiwaza, you fucking scrub. Cue the roll call!
We're live!
Zenkaigan!
Connect.
Loading.
Broadcast.
Watching all the anime. Redcaster. Show Raven.
Equipment Wielder.
Bluecaster. Cheetah Zazil.
Loyal and Lab. Beatcaster Lightred.
Explorer from the Unknown. Yellowcaster. Auto Guard.
One little spark of courage. Dreamcaster. Global Soft Perka.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Welcome, everybody, to Radio Sentai Cast Ranger, episode 149. We are one episode away from the big 150,
bitch, there's nothing entering the Amazon. You can't lead.
Peachy leads. I'm going to poke you in the nose.
Yeah, and once the...
thing that Lane said!
And then once...
I'm going to bite your fucking finger.
Once our DX Culette gets here, then we get to decide to Culette who gets to host. One time. It's just going to be you. Just blue. Fuck. Shit.
Schwa.
So, we have...
That was Link.
We have all five core casters here, and an Ultraman, I guess.
Wait, sorry, one more.
Wait a minute. Can Link be an Ultraman? All right, Link. Audition time.
Up and at them! Up and at them!
So, no, just like right after guard, then do you just clue in, or cut in the clip of Saluk from Aladdin King of Thieves? You're in.
Also... we are going to start a Radio Sentai Cast Ranger Kickstarter for Gar, for his production of Gar Wars, where it's just literally he's going to make the entirety of Star Wars A New Hope with just him as the cast. Sound effects,
it's
one man show. He's going to have like the toy ships, and then you're just going to see his hands holding them flying, just going beep, 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 beep,
beep. Instead of a stage, he'll just be on the back porch.
Just Gar with Princess Leia's wig. Darth Vader, only you could be so bold.
Darth Vader, only you
could you have to just be your regular voice. Darth Vader, only you could be so bold.
Wait, when I'm Tarkin, can I at least have slippers?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, of course, it'll make it funnier.
No, when you're Tarkin, you have to turn yourself into a hologram.
I should have known Vader was, you were holding Vader's leash.
And you have to get real good at learning to choke yourself. Okay, let's stop there. This week we're talking about X-Aid, episode 28.
Tiger Daddy!
Q-Ranger, episode 11!
And our special topic, it's a fun one, folks.
Oh, I'm gonna say it.
Go say it.
It was intended to be our 150th feature topic.
Maybe
because
you were
of just
intending
how
that.
Batshit crazy it was. But then we decided to do something else. And if you haven't realized what we're doing for 150 yet...
Don't say it.
Good.
Go ahead and say it.
No. We're keeping it a surprise.
I'm sure people have figured it out.
No.
If you figured it out, post in the comments.
Okay, Blue.
I actually don't know.
We'll tell you later.
Okay.
We'll tell you when you're older.
If you subscribe to our Patreon, you'll get to know some point next week.
All right, then. X-Aid.
I'm going to point out something that I don't think anyone has brought up, and especially the show.
Sock.
So, don't throw your fucking socks at me.
I threw one sock.
So, we've known for some time that Dan framed his dad with the creation, with the release of the Bugster virus. Why hasn't anyone let Dan Masamune out of prison yet?
Because he's not important to the plot right now.
Oh, Maybe he is out of prison, they just haven't showed it.
Maybe he's just grieving because, you know, his son's dead.
Maybe they forgot he existed and the writers are like, oh, yes. Crap.
Oh, you mean like the hero's dad? Man, this show has a lot of dad issues.
It's like, yes, Gar, his son that fucking framed him for mass murder and
bioterrorism
took over his goddamn company.
All right, then.
His dad.
So at the funeral, then, Dan's dad would be the guy, like, way off in the distance, like, a few, like, 30 feet away, high, like, standing by the tree in a trench coat and a top hat.
And it's raining, and then Evanescence raining. Is playing.
And then he plays the wife that nobody knew of.
And then Dan just revives to the tune of Bring Me to Life.
No, it's...
Great.
Just wake me up inside, can't move.
Can't wake up.
Damn, Ross.
Game over. Level up inside.
For some reason, the opening switched back to the first verse after having the second verse.
Are you sure you just weren't having a stroke with the last episode?
I know what I heard. I've listened to the full size of Excite enough times to notice.
Yeah, no, it was the first verse. That's fine, whatever.
I'm kind of sad they didn't, like, change it so Nico is now, like, holding up Chronicle in that shot where they all
hold the gashes. It's in the budget!
So...
It took fucking 2 seconds!
So this was a very heavy Poppy episode, because it was about getting her back to normal, and, you know...
As we all predicted, and as...
She's questioning her existence.
As everyone predicted, she was saved primarily through Exade reprogramming her.
You know, the thing that he could have done... Episodes ago.
We had her old memory card. I just plugged it in.
And...
With my sword.
And Pallad was just being, like, an annoying kid brother who's just, like, always pushing the older brother to fucking play, wants
I'm
to play games.
I'm
bored! Play with you! I want to be player too! Play with me!
Why are you always playing with your girlfriend? Play with me!
You know, ever since you got a boyfriend, you know, you're not the same. Always sucking his dick now.
Speaking of sucking dick, in one scene, Pallad gets kind of rapey. That was really unsettling.
Where he chokes her
and holds her over the edge of the building?
Well, he was just trying to make a point.
Yeah,
you crossed me again!
If you think about it, it's not that big a threat because they're bugsters, they revive whatever, but still. The intent was there.
And, yeah, so we found out that
to quote Fast Times at Ridgemont High, don't fuck with me.
Don't fuck with Arya.
Or don't fuck with it.
But we also found...
Wait, do bugsters have genders?
Yes.
Emma will find out.
Wait, what? That sounds a little...
Anyway.
I wasn't sure if you meant from Pallad or from Poppy.
Why not both?
No,
why not scan both?
Is clearly a girl.
Little from column A, little from column B.
B for bugster.
No.
So we found out that Poppy, like, the human that disappeared so Poppy could exist as a complete bugster, was a woman.
Although we don't have any details on who that was,
but she experienced the memories of her disappearance, and then Graphite's like, yeah, no, I have the memories of Brave's girl.
And cue the fan art of someone being like, there they are on a date, there they are at Disney World, there he is, you know, on top of her having sex.
Yeah, just Graphite's like, yeah, I know exactly what it feels like to have a vagina.
I think I actually saw something like that on the Kamen Rider group where it was like...
Yeah.
No, it was a subtitle.
Graphite
like,
remembering Saki's memories.
So, Hiro's mine now. Like, I love him.
He's
that's why he
bitch.
That's why he had to die.
Yeah, he just, like, starts like, absorbing Saki's emotions.
Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, there it is. Anthony, put it in the video. Send it to Anthony.
Yeah.
Sorry for interrupting.
Okay, well, you know what?
I love how they referred to it as save data too.
So we're gonna go to the cut into the huge plot drop of this episode and finding out that Pallad is M.
This
he
is
was
some
the entire
bullshit.
Time. Pretty much, it's this.
I told you,
hang on.
It made no sense that would be what they did.
You, I'm not you. You're me. No shit.
What's that
okay.
From?
Total Recall.
Oh my god, that's been so long.
I'm really looking forward to how the fuck they purport to explain that Pallad is M when we've seen them fighting individually when he uses Mighty Brothers.
But you should have seen the
look on Ichi's face.
I
just
saw
he found
it,
that, and he's just like,
I saw it coming, but I didn't
have
want to.
They?
Whenever
the
Pulod's
quick question.
On
usually,
scene.
I whenever Emu went to fight Pulod, I don't think he ever actually used Mighty Brothers.
No, but
no.
When he first debuted as Mighty Brothers,
Pulod
was
up
sitting
in
a
tree.
Yeah, he was sitting in a tree.
Or was he?
Now, I know a lot of people are probably going to say, oh, it has to be Pulod because Pallad's the one who gave Emu the gashit that became Mighty Brothers. That's not really enough evidence.
No, Emu just manifested it.
And really think of it. Mighty Brothers has two forms. Pulod has two forms.
That is tenuous.
Also, Emu in this episode was wearing a red and blue pair of shoes.
Paradox. Then there's my
thing. This is really Emu's shoes.
No, but when we found out that Pulod was Emu, I was like, oh, so he's not using Dan's gamer driver. He's using Emu's gamer driver. So he hijacks Emu's body and uses that to be perfect knockout level 99.
Now, while I'm not a huge supporter of the idea of Pulod being M, I will admit that the idea of the villain possessing the hero to take over their body and create a new super form is actually a trope I'm a huge fan of, which actually perfectly explains some of the design choices in Pulod's level 99 form, because when I first looked at it, I'm like, why does its eyes look like Exade's?
Well,
and now it
why,
makes
yeah.
sense! Because he possessed Emu!
Even if it didn't make much sense with the Mighty Brothers thing, I think from seeing him in the new opening, doing the whole, like, I'm you silhouette thing, I kind of knew that would be what would happen, but...
I kind of was thinking the opposite, because, like, you see the two of them standing off, and I'm just
yin
like...
and yang.
I guess it's supposed to be interpreted as an internal conflict, but... I guess that was exactly
the
person,
person
versus self.
It's the mislead they were going for the whole time.
Or man versus self.
Yeah.
It turned into an external conflict into an internal conflict.
I didn't mean to sound pretentious.
No, you're good insight.
For me, I did see it coming, but honestly, like, I'm cool with it. That's it. Because honestly, when you see M, like, the M persona take over, you can kind of see the similarities with Pulod. Like, he wants the game, he wants to fight. He, like, yeah, even when the episode where M took over as, like, the dominant personality in that one episode, he, even though the Bugster disappeared back into the patient, he still was like, no, come back, I want to fight you!
And to think, when M was in charge of the body, Pulod was nowhere to be seen until M, you know, regained his body.
Mm-hmm.
That, and, you know,
I feel like they're going to bring that up.
Then there's my thing.
Everyone has a thing.
Yeah, everyone's got a thing.
You do a great impression of a T-Rex.
Okay, aside from my perfect impression of a T-Rex. Really think of it, really clear, and it's, you know, the most obvious thing ever. Pulod has no backstory. Everyone else has a backstory except for him.
I was looking forward to finding out what his was, and I was, I kind of...
I just thought you were going to say Pulod doesn't have a back.
I love the
oh, shit, guys, I don't. Pulod, look in the mirror. Oh, thank God, it's there.
I love the exchange of dialogue between Emu and Pulod, though, where, like, Pulod's like, why won't you ever play with me? Play with everyone else, but not with me. Because you're a guy who kills for his own fucking
Why don't you look at me during...
I got it.
Why won't you play with me during?
Wait, if he's him, would that be...
Would he be playing
with himself?
Would he be playing?
No, just cue all the Persona 4 references. Just Emu to Pulod.
You're not me. You're not me. Yeah, and then
I'm
he possessed
sorry,
her.
That's such a simple. That's
Shadow
such a
Emu.
Yeah.
No, he's no. This is Toei. He's Black Emu.
Fuck! I wish I could play the fucking 8-bit version of that boss thing.
But you're not Black.
It's on YouTube.
What?
It is.
Or white? Or 8? Or whatever we are.
Can I just say for a second that Taiga sitting on lying on Nico's bed in her, like, doubly decorated room was
they
adorable?
They just did it.
No! I mean, they literally just made up at the end of last episode, and this is the first
fucked.
Time you saw them
no,
afterwards.
They didn't.
No!
She's
like 16 or something.
No, she's 18.
Oh.
And
she's
Tyga's
18,
like,
but Taiga's like 28,
she's
29.
She's a professional gamer.
She's legal. That doesn't matter!
In Japan, she is legal.
Confirm, this is not a Mizzou situation.
This is...
just that moment where it's just... Hey, I mean, they did just make up at the end of the last episode, and this is the first time we're seeing them since they walked off together. Damn. So
she's dry now.
Not entirely.
No, oh, that's nasty.
We also met the patient of this
hashtag battleship.
We also met the patient of this episode, who's like this huge like survival gamer fan, and he was super into Chronicle.
I bet you that motherfucker plays Minecraft.
Could you say that they played or they did some foreplay?
Foreplay, you mean?
Foreplay.
Wow, Gar,
you can't even say it right.
Hashtag foregame.
Hashtag. No.
I'm just gonna tickle your feet. Don't worry.
What the fuck?
Anyways, this guy was actually cool. I liked him. He was funny.
He was interesting. And then he gets his fucking leg chopped. Well, not chopped off, but, like, sliced.
No, and then later on, they go to fight Poppy or whatever like that, the two guys are like, hey, what the fuck, man? Like, we need to fight her if we're gonna cure ourselves. Tiger's just like, I'll fucking cure you. Now get the fuck out of here.
Do you even lift, bro?
Like, bitch, I have fucking ship cannons on my shoulders. Fuck off, let me work.
I saw him, like, running in like, simulation gamer, and I'm like, don't run. Don't move in that fast in that suit. It just everything kind of just weird. Dangles everywhere.
It'd be funny if like one of the abilities of that gashit would be like just to generate like game water for him to sail through.
Tiger, you sir.
Although I think it was Noble who brought up a good point on our comments in our last discussion. The reason that whole scene was taking place in a fountain was because of Bang Bang Simulations is like based on a naval ship.
I like mine better because Tiger had like a flow of emotions going around.
Yeah, I agree with Carr.
Also, you know,
could be both.
I realize something.
Flow of emotions.
Tiger's the HM slave.
Oh my god, he actually kind of is.
You just fly. You surf.
Oh no, that's not.
Use rock blast.
No, use bite.
Fucking.
Use cut.
Yeah, use cut. Bang.
Good,
brave. Wouldn't it? Yeah.
It's brave.
Use curse. It was also funny seeing Poppy trying to, like, fight maximum mighty maximum gamer's fucking power.
Yeah, and but then she like turns around and one shots level 3 Brave, who's like really obsessed with using Doromifa beat this episode because Poppy.
Yeah. Okay. This is what bugs me. So like,
does it buggle you?
Yes, buggles me. Oh, excuse me. So we know that Poppy Pimpapo is like the Bugster Doromifa beat. So, like, why do we have, like, this other character? So why couldn't we have just had the Poppy Doromifa beat gashit be the actual game? That would have been more interesting.
Because then we wouldn't have had a new toy to sell.
We could, yeah.
No, but it would have been cool seeing, like, a cool, like, pink, like, form on Brave, because it would have looked really nice together.
No, but that's not...
That form is already ugly on Brave. We don't need to make it worse.
Fuck you.
Speaking not wrong.
He'd have like the cute little Poppy hat. Just have like the wig. He'd have Poppy's hair.
No. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Okay, the thumbnail just needs to be Brave, just with Poppy's hair, like with Poppy's hair and hat.
It's so hard to Photoshop.
Okay, you know what? We're not gonna make that thumbnail because we're probably gonna use Pulgasari or something. But Ichi, make that picture. Put it in the episode. There you go.
Sorry with Poppy's
hair.
Wow,
it's so cool. Look at
this. If it's not there, it's because no one reminded me.
I'll remind you. I'm saying it even
putting
right
that
now.
In everyone else's court.
Putting it in your task list.
All right. Speaking of which,
I like how Poppy.
Braves?
I just like how Poppy brings up a point. You're like, I'm the navigator, the administrator, and one of the bosses. Aren't I multi-talented?
Well, aren't you the trifecta from hell? I'm gonna finish off this trifecta from hell.
She's the tutorial, the game mod, and a fucking boss.
You can tell she's the creator of the game. She gave herself all the good jobs.
She did.
No, she's not the creator of the game. She's just a symptom of nepotism.
Why did you join the game? Remember how 2,000 of you died in the first month?
Sword Art Online Abridged.
Oh, I fucking...
I know it has nothing to do with anything, but there's this one shot in the episode where you can see a sign in the background that's like an ad for a car, and underneath the logo it just says in plain English, I've decided to buy a new car.
I didn't notice that. I saw my name for like a split second.
Lane?
Yeah, it said Lane. And I was like, hey, I'm in the episode.
So Nico gets Salty and Alhambra's Gacha trophies, and I kind of wish they like do more with them. Like, give... them the weapon from that game.
Isn't that what they're supposed to do?
No, they're just trophies saying, hey, beat the Buckster.
It's like a key item saying, hey, you beat this boss. A lot of RPGs have something like that.
Collect all 10 gashets and something will happen.
You'll unlock the final boss.
It was, you know, like what they were telling Emu and the others for the entire first bit of the
game.
It's literally the same 10 game.
And then, I love it.
No, and then afterward, like in the next episode, guys, how did we fall for that twice?
Right?
Like, I understand the first time, but twice?
Just like all the gashet trophies revived Dan.
Like, man, we're so fucking dumb. Dude. No, it's like the Dragon Balls. You can only wish one person back.
So, Brave, Snipe, and Riot Player Nico all gang up on Poppy, and they're literally about to, like, triple team execute her. It's fucking grotesque.
Yeah, nah, nothing beats Hase's death.
But, of course, Exane is like, oh, yeah, I already reprogrammed you, so if you're an enemy, then fucking shoot me!
Yeah.
What is
this?
She
can't do it, of course.
Yeah.
What was interesting that I really liked was, Poppy didn't smile the entire episode. Like, when she came back, yeah.
Because
like
when
that.
She did, that was the game cleared.
Yep.
Right, that's
I
when
like
they
that.
Beat the game.
I kind of think that's kind of like a cop-out, because this isn't Doremifa Beat they're playing, this is Kamen Rider Chronicle.
Oh, also another thing that fucking bugs me. Every time they're in the CR building or whatever like that, Hiro either has a slice of cake or a cup of coffee. And then even in one shot, he had both a slice of cake and a cup of coffee. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Because Hiro makes maximum effective use of his time. If he's not fighting, he's replenishing.
I liked the
that was the point.
The match cut of him cutting the cake. And then
Yeah.
Why does he have both this episode? Because Poppy's usually the one who stops him from having more than one.
That is true.
She's not here to stop me this time.
Also, no, Hiro's dad didn't show up again, so
Hiro's, like, squirming. It's like, what's wrong?
Sugar Rush.
New
Gashit.
I actually wanted to do art for Sugar Rush Gashit and Turbo Time Gashit and a form that uses both.
Oh. Fantastic!
Rush Gamer level 4. Sugar Critical Finish!
The worst part is that never mind.
That could be a Poppy power up.
It's okay.
It's
old. Say it.
If I were an upset, Kamen Rider, what is that?
Aww.
Either that or like Pokemon.
I gotta say though, and some people in the Facebook group have been echoing this, the jingles
Sorry,
and
guys.
The chimes for Tokimeki Crisis are actually really neat.
Yeah.
They are.
My feet are itchy.
Yeah, we already have a SUGA. We already have that for Sugar Rush, so.
Yeah.
I'm gonna wreck it.
I guess there'd be a fix if
I hear they defeated Lufrica. No.
Just a giant sludge hammer.
No, he's just a little down in the dump.
He's a little heartbroken. I'm glad he's not dead, I gotta say. I like him.
He's awesome.
Who's the who?
Ren.
Oh, yeah.
There are many characters named
Ren.
Oh, Ren, yeah.
That's the only way he can take damage. It's a dating sim game.
Mm-hmm. Did he even show up this episode?
No, not at all.
They literally said he locked himself in his room because he was feeling down after Nico called him. Ren is the fucking Igor of the show.
He called the Wambulance.
He's fucking Igor.
So everyone went in the water, not a single person got a call.
Yeah, and no one got a cold afterwards.
Maybe Nico did, but Tiger nursed her back to health. With his dick!
No!
No! Stop it!
I was gonna say V-Cinema, and then you destroyed
it. I was waiting for it, and you did it. No!
Hashtag battleship.
Input Gar's now here. It was that moment where I was like, if he doesn't finish that sentence, I will.
No, I felt tense.
I think we have new material for Use Your Words.
Dick!
I'm sorry, guys, for being so lame today. I just missed this so much.
Also, when Nuplod possessed Emu's body, just critical slap.
Yeah,
bam!
Someone actually shot that. I have the wallpaper.
Wait, guys, I got it.
That's a JonTron clip.
Yeah. I didn't mean it.
Yeah, I love that I busted it out last time.
That's great.
So yeah, next week we get Paradox Level 99.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Also, fucking
can't wait for the inevitable. Emu has his little internal battle with him.
Yeah.
wins finally by fucking busting up Muteki.
Ooh, that could be a thing.
Yes, he cheats! Uses the fucking invincibility code to separate himself from Pallad, and then now they are two separate forms.
Also, Hero, trying to, attack Poppy, just being like, no hard feelings, Poppy. Like, fuck you, Hero.
And that was kind
piece
of
terrible. Shit.
Cue Prince of Egypt song.
This really made me really, really love Poppy more as a character, and I really felt for her the entire episode. So, when Emu was so happy to see her back to normal, that made me super happy.
I'm also going to point out something I noticed. When Poppy, threw away her Buggle Driver, we didn't see where it landed.
Also, I think it was in the water.
It's in the water.
Yeah. That's what we were meant to assume, but we'll see. I just want to keep that in the back of everyone's heads.
Yeah.
My foot was itching. I put a pillow over it.
No, I'm not.
I mean, we still need to see the fucking blue-eyed version of it.
Yeah, which is absolutely happening.
Unless that was just a magazine scan. Yeah.
Anyways, Yosha and Lucky!
Not!
Lucky, I guess.
So
the opposite of that lane. The opposite.
I said Yosha unlucky.
No, you said Yosha.
No, I said Yosha unlucky.
So there were 4 Yosha luckies this week, bringing our count up to 49.
That's a lot.
So
he's making up for last time.
This episode 149.
So this week's episode, Q Ranger.
He was overcompensating.
Lucky. Lucky had a very unlucky day because his constellation...
Leo was in retrograde.
Yeah, it was the unlucky constellation of the day.
Because he had a bad day.
Yeah.
And Gar, I will remind you, I still have your orb sword.
And may I remind you that you're using my premium Bandai Dark Orb Ring as a cup holder right now.
Wait, yes, he is. Oh my god, he actually is.
That is its greatest use ever.
Oh.
So.
Well, I'm using your cards, your Ultraman Orb cards, as a coaster for my drink.
Give me these.
So, someone took a screenshot of the magazine Lucky was looking at.
I mean, fuck,
at,
it's
so.
Even got a platform
on
it.
He wants to win a rocket pet, a robot pet.
You legit could.
And tour travel.
A space capsule scooter.
Okay, so yeah, so this is the magazine Lucky's looking at. Winner, Space Capsel Scooter. Capsule spelled CAPSEL. Name, Boise Hooning. Address, Kuravesi.
Somewhere.
Tour travel, robot pet. For applicant, this time I wait for application. In the future, without the high, unfortunately, I was not elected at this time when I will support in future. Thank you for inviting such... application giving it up.
This is what happens when you give a Japanese person a job.
And on the right
side,
presence of this moon. Challenge it and get a chance.
I guess English is like the universal language of the galaxy.
West Cosmo Traveling. One pair limited.
Okay.
Application method. I accepted by a mail.
It's actually spelled like the fruit pear.
Fill in an address, the name, age. Fill in a prize desired. As for the impression of this, do not forget either.
Just, if you're an alien, how come you sound like you're from a north? Lots of planets have a north.
I mean, you're right.
It's almost like the way this four applicant section is phrased, that it's specifically telling Lucky that he failed.
Go fuck yourself.
I was not elected at this time. I guess that means I lost. Unlucky.
Yeah.
My god. I fucking love the English in this show.
But yes.
On the screen too, it always has that.
So, but what made me happy was, at the same time, I'm watching this episode, and just when Lompo does the Q-let chance or whatever like that, he's just like, come on, come on. And I'm like, yeah, come on, come on. And I see his Q-top, I'm like, yeah, he's still fucking in the away team.
No, this was unlucky because then he gets to go down and get his ass kicked.
Yeah. No, okay, right. But no, he was still happy regardless.
The way to the worst unhappiness is through perceived happiness.
No, but I'm happy that
he's
like,
so
the
unlucky
streak...
because it built him up just to tear him back.
Exactly,
down
that's what I'm saying.
Psych.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Kotaro even like questions like, "Oh, why don't we just all go down?" And it's like,
not in the budget.
No, he didn't say it's on the budget.
No,
it's
I know,
just...
but that's what they should have said.
No, Raptor was like, "Oh no, we need to repair the ship." So.
Yes, the small child who just barely has been in space for a week will be of help.
Barely.
Oh my god.
I didn't even notice.
It's a berry.
Puns.
They're like Teddy from Persona 4.
So they established what the objective of the next arc of the show is going to be. Not only finding the Argo, but the three Kutama that make up its parts.
Yep.
One of them is probably in Squidman.
Pupus, Vela, and Karina. Pupus is described as Tomo in the show, but I didn't catch the names of the other ones.
You know what did happen though this episode?
Hmm?
Finally got to see the Aquarius Kutama.
Yeah, so Gar's happy that there is an Aquarius Kutama.
It is in fact the age of Aquarius.
I liked seeing the Lupus one.
Yeah. And it's like, what does the Aquarius one do? Water.
They just burned through like many Kutama this episode.
Yeah, like Stinger made one where it just makes a campfire and he's like, alright, we're good.
Why is there a cosmic power simply for spawning a small campfire?
And also cups.
You know, campfire under the stars.
No.
Imagine if he got out Aquarius who was like, okay, I'll fill the...
I think that's what they meant to do, but like they didn't have it because the other team had Aquarius,
sorry,
I guess.
So dumb.
No, just like pulls out the campfire, a guitar shows up in the singer's hand. Let's gather around the campfire and sing a campfire song. R-C-A-M-P-F-R-R-E-S-O-N-G songs.
Yeah, my lord.
I declare tonight's meeting.
Goodbye. Anyways.
I'm sorry,
no, it's okay. So we also can see the return of Monaco, which apparently every time she comes back, she has a personality change.
And you can just tell they're going to run with this for the next 10, 15 episodes.
And I'm okay with that because it makes her more interesting as a character.
Who?
Monaco.
She's like, she's all like,
sorry, me and Raven were just giggling
about how perfect the fucking iced tea bottle fits on this goddamn orb deck. There's literally a divot in the fucking toy the bottle of the goddamn... Fits the bottle perfectly.
Well, now we know what we're getting you for your next gift.
Cup holder. Just a cup holder.
Orb coaster.
Yeah. A roller orb coaster.
It may hold cards, but it also makes a good coaster for my drink.
Yo, bottle doesn't deserve a spot on my ultra card deck.
But no, anyways, herpeters.
Also, I have a theory about Ikagen. So you know, like, that big blue jewel on his head?
Yeah, that's
you mean
Kutama.
The crystal skull?
So I like to think that he has a Kutama inside him.
It one that has the power to predict the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that, though.
What?
Champ used something to locate a Kutama today.
Yes, but that was a different one.
It was specifically made to track down those three.
The Death Worm. Which apparently is so deadly, even Ikagen and Monaco were like, nope!
On that note, though...
It having a human
when they were...
Sorry, hold on, one at a time.
No, sorry, you go first.
No.
Sorry, Raven.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it having a humanoid form was kind of weird. I'm sorry, I've been talking way too much this episode.
Anyways, what I was gonna say, the thing with Ikagen, I thought I saw something like when King Ryu Commander almost shot him.
Yeah.
While he was toying around with Lucky, I could have fucking sworn he like phased out of the shot for a second and then popped back in after the shot had gone through.
I didn't notice anything.
I don't know.
Like, I had to rewind and look at it again, but it looked like that's what he did.
They did do a close-up of his head, and, like, it glowed.
Yeah.
And I saw, like, a symbol in his head, so I'm like, I think he has a Kutama in his head.
I'm thinking, like, my theory at this moment is that maybe it's not that he can see the future so much as that he can actually freeze time for short periods.
He's the world?
No, he's...
The world!
No, he's hit.
I don't know.
It's just that moment, it just felt like that for a moment when he looked like he was actually worried about getting hit by that shot for a second, and then just poof back in.
Aha, I dodged your shot.
I would more classify that under, like, he can see all potential futures. In that instance, he looked at the wrong one.
Future vision. Steven Universe.
Garnet.
This is Garnet.
So, yeah, we get a lot of different Kutamas, and, yeah, Deathworm having a humanoid-ish form was really weird, mostly for the fact that it made it smaller.
Yep.
I guess they had to have a human suit, I guess.
Yeah, because we didn't have enough, the budget.
They didn't have enough time to get up on the Hydra's back!
Oh, no!
E.G., you know what they were missing? Grappling hook. Because, you know, it's a worm. Legend of Zelda.
Yep.
Hookshot. Hit the eye.
So, they fight it, and whatever, and then the monster gets big, or whatever. But
this is the confusing thing.
When they start summoning their Voyagers, just like, they all just get, like, instantly transported onto the fucking moon.
No, it's not that they got transported to the moon. The area around them turned into the moon.
Why would it do that instead of just teleporting them there? It seems
like that's the thing that I'm questioning. It's like, why don't we just have the battle in space?
I think that might just be something specifically the Ryu Voyager does, because that's what it did. Because
it made nighttime.
Yeah.
Daytime. But, nighttime.
So we debuted. Nighttime. We got the debut of the Kuma Voyager, which is a bear on wheels with a small bear riding it.
I love the little small bear. It's so cute.
I love how the Koguma Voyager, like, when it separates, it gets, like, spikes on its wheels.
Yep.
That was neat.
It could, like, cut the worm off.
Also, it was cute seeing Kotaro, like, calling Stinger Aniki.
Yeah. He's
like, Aniki?
Does that mean I'm a big brother now?
Yeah, pretty much.
I wonder.
I love it. He made a mention about Jiro. Still don't know where the fuck he is.
Yeah, we still left him alone on Earth.
He's still snacking, watching Netflix.
We didn't leave Earth yet.
Somewhere.
We didn't leave him on Earth. We left him at home.
The point is, he was left alone and unsupervised.
For all that we know,
he has parents. For all we know, he's probably jerking it.
No, what? He's like fine.
Garno.
I'm glad I stopped talking because right after you said show us his parents, I was gonna say okay, that's fine, show us. And then you said maybe he's jerking it, so I'm glad I stopped. If he has been left somewhere secure, show us for 5 seconds.
No, who is he? Goten? He has nothing to do with the plot.
Whoa.
But he's Kotaro's motivation. That's enough reason to at least show.
Well, show him
5 seconds of Jiro at home.
This is what we'll do. We'll show him sleeping. We'll see him train a bit, and then he'll just stop.
And then he gets kidnapped by Scorpio.
Also, when they're fixing the Orion, Naga's just like, "Oh, let me get everyone a drink." Kitama summons cups, and then Bounce is like, "Where's the drink?"
And the thing, there's 88 of these fucking things.
There are 88. God.
Oh my god.
Holy shit.
All of them have their own unique
So
ability.
Glad I'm not interested in collecting, like, a shit ton of Kutama.
For all I fucking know, there's a Kutama to wipe your ass!
Yes. Just wipe your ass, Kutama!
Just a toilet.
No.
Guys, there's gonna be the Japanese joke. They're gonna use it in like, giant pans are gonna fall from the sky.
Oh, the death pan?
Yeah. Or you probably know what they actually
I know what you're talking about, don't worry.
I just call them dead pans.
Death by pen.
Death is the name for by eggs.
By eggs.
By eggs.
So, Ryu Teo debuts, which is Ryu Commander, Ryu Voyager formed into the body and legs. Kuma and Sasori Voyagers.
I like it, except for that one foot.
Because
this one foot has, like, the dragon head, and then the other one's, like, this black piece, and it bugs the shit out of
it's
me.
It's called the tail.
No, but just... Oh, it bothers me.
I don't mind it.
It's the way the whole thing's formed.
No, I know it is.
It's the head on one leg, and it's the tail is the other.
It's like a scrawny.
I'm being super Death the Kid about this right now, and it's bothering me.
Even though you never watched Soul Eater.
Yeah, I've watched first 8 episodes.
So buy 2 of them, and then stick the tails on both legs.
Or the heads on both legs.
Or whichever.
No,
or
but
make
it's,
2.
No, but it's also... No, but it's kind of... It's also
whatever boats your goat.
No, but it's also kind of an autistic trait where, like, people hate... We hate, like, disorganized
you
things.
You hate asymmetry. I get it.
Yeah.
I saw a post on Tumblr recently that had the phrase, whatever fruits your loops. And it was...
I would have gone with whatever loops your fruits.
And that was an official thing made by, like... Kellogg's.
Whatever fruits you love.
Companies are getting memeier these days. I love Nintendo posted a tweet the other day.
Oh, the Rainbow Road.
Rainbow Road. I walk a road alone because everyone else fell off.
Yeah, it was
which
like
is great because Mario Kart 8 Deluxe came out.
It was like when they made a mention and they referenced the fucking Luigi Death Stare, and I'm like, you know about that?
They programmed that.
No, but that was just it was just an angry, serious face Luigi makes when he's passing by another racer.
Yeah, which they totally did on purpose.
Yeah, but the internet called it the Luigi Death Stare.
No, I know, but anyways.
So
we get a quick flash of Baby Lucky in a burning palace.
Yeah, he had a traumatic past, it seems.
He was king. And everyone told him he's the luckiest kid in the universe.
Yeah, he probably survived, like, the massacre of his people.
That or, you know, he's from the Zaniac Empire and he's, you know, like, Ami's long-lost brother.
No! No! No!
You know what I think this is leaning towards?
It's too much.
You know what I think this is leaning towards?
What?
I think every one of them is, like, the sole survivor of their own galaxy.
Galaxy!
So, what's left in the Leo galaxy? Actually, no one. What about you guys? Shiz. Are we just on a giant Noah's Ark and we have to repopulate our races?
Hammy, what about you? Are there any ninjas left? Nope, I'm the last ninja.
Give me that sword.
Give it.
Hashtag the ninja! Oh,
gosh. Next week we get Ryukei Kureno.
Everyone's okay. Guys, stop. I have a shield, you know.
Well, at least I got my own caliber back.
Fucking healing axe, I love it. It's the best.
Can't use it on yourself.
Yes, I can!
And now the other use for the shield.
I programmed the axe to...
Your auto-resibility is only high level, and you're not that high level yet.
Shh. You gotta use the smaller
level
shield.
Level X.
So anyways...
So next week, Lucky storms in like a fucking champ, and we get to see all 11 Kyu Rangers transform together.
Oh yeah, the opening.
Beautiful.
But champ
speaking
is someone
which,
else.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the opening has changed to include Shell Lampo and Kotaro.
But only like in a couple of shots, and not all of them.
No, but like
really irks me.
At the end, when they're all together.
I know, but like there's.
In which that's my new wallpaper.
There's
now.
Two shots that I want them to be in that they're not. The shot at the beginning where they're all in the spaceship where the door opens.
Oh, they'll definitely redo that.
And the one where they're all standing on the cliff transforming. Because there's room enough to stick them in there on the sides, though. That's what irks me about.
You're in for Ho, soldier.
They gradually introduce the other ones. Why not these two?
Yes.
It's on the budget.
That's on the budget.
Fucking budget!
Fucking budget!
You know what, that's what I was thinking too!
You know what, speaking of budget...
Featured topic.
We're going to talk about our featured topic.
Oh god.
I didn't have time to watch it, so I'm completely blind here.
Gar, give the lass a history lesson.
Lesson with Gar!
Alright. So, this again, like I mentioned, this was intended to be our 150th feature topic discussion.
Then better shit came up.
Yeah, then better shit came up. Sorry,
something
but
suddenly came up.
It's true. So today we are talking about one of the most highly
controversial.
Highly controversial films
for multiple reasons.
Yeah, for many reasons. Pulgasari, a North Korean kaiju movie that had a limitless budget.
That already sounds awesome.
Wait, the budget on that was limitless?
It was also 1985 and North Korea.
And
okay.
Kim Jong-il, you know...
Executive producer.
He's
the
like
guy who ran the country.
Yeah, thanks, I figured that.
Well, not the whole country, because his dad was still alive until 1999, until he took full control and made everybody, like, sorrow for 10 days straight, and if you didn't, your whole entire family vanished that night.
Yep.
Moving along!
Anyways, like Cell mentioned to me like earlier today,
and we should point out Cell was supposed to be here for this episode.
Well, no, it's not that he was supposed to be here. He promised he would be here, but sadly he wouldn't be able to make it. And
Northcaster went south.
Yeah, and also we also intended to have Matt Bruquette, the AKA Apollo Z Hack, AKA the guy who runs Monstrosities on YouTube. In which he's, like, well-known in, like, kaiju
mm-hmm.
movies and stuff. basically scheduling.
Oh. I don't know, you have me who hasn't even seen the movie because you had to do animation work.
Well, that's perfectly fine.
No, it's not. I'm sorry, guys.
That's fine.
It's fine.
I genuinely feel like you guys can cut this out if you want.
No.
I'm just
nope,
being
no.
a boob.
But,
leave it in.
But, yeah, but like Sel mentioned earlier to me, the backs, like the whole entire behind the scenes situation is more like
just as interesting as the film. If
no,
more.
It's 10 times more interesting than the actual movie.
I mean, for that, watch the documentary.
Stop
yes,
hyping up and just tell people.
Well, it's Paul Gasari.
No, but tell people why it
okay.
was made.
So in 1978, this actress, in which I cannot remember her name, and neither could I actually pronounce it, got kidnapped in Hong Kong.
Look it up and I'll pronounce it.
Yeah. In which, basically she went to Hong Kong for a bit, in which she accidentally met a North Korean agent.
Ooh.
And then she got kidnapped and, you know, hung out with Kim Jong-il.
Hung out?
Yeah.
At gunpoint.
Well, no, he was a very decent man, according to what she said.
Hung out with a gun out.
In which, you know, her divorced husband at the time, Shin Sang-go, also got to Korea somehow. In the documentary, it's indicated that he, like, also got caught by an agent, but people believe that he went there on purpose. Because in those days, it was kind of easy just to go over to North Korea, apparently. But in which he was in prison for 5 years. They didn't meet up until 1983, I believe. 1978 plus 5 years later, that's 1983, in which Kim Jong-il made them the leading people for North Korean's film industry. They made 6 films together, and Paul Gasari was their last film that they did, which had the highest budget that they'd done for a North Korean film. But then they realized, you know, North Korea is not fun anymore. Let's leave. So in which, when they were in Austria for a film, like basically they could go to European countries, but they couldn't go to like America or Canada. In which, you know, Kim Jong-il treated them nice. They weren't actually prisoners. It was just, you know, make us films and you'll live.
This is the upside. We won't kill you.
Yeah, that's pretty much the upside. We won't kill you.
Teehee. That was an upside.
But anyways, in 1983, they went to Austria for a film festival, in which during the morning they escaped to a U.S. embassy and lived in America for a while. In which the director also, you know, made Three Ninjas.
Wait, seriously?
He worked on the Three Ninjas series.
Oh my god.
Sadly, he passed away in 2006 at the age of 79 in South Korea. In which, I'm still trying to figure out how Paul Gasari is released when the other 5 films haven't.
Only one he actually had a copy of on him when he fucking got out.
Probably.
That's my understanding of it.
Like,
it was his most recent, so I'm guessing.
Probably he was on tour with it, and then just, I have a copy with me.
There's my belief. Toho Studios actually, you know, was involved in making this film. Speaking of which, the suit actor for Paul Gasari was, Lane, you might know him. He did Hedorah in Godzilla vs. Hedorah.
Yay!
And he was Godzilla between 1985, like, for the Heisei era. So basically between Godzilla 1985 to Godzilla vs. the Destroyer.
Surprised they got a Japanese suit actor to be in a movie.
Well, remember, their budget was limitless. They did. Kim Jong-il was like,
I need the best suit actor in Japan.
No, he's like, I need the best director in South Korea. Well, there's this guy. Persuade him to come here. AKA.
Persuade in air quotes.
Yeah, persuade as in kid.
The way lights like, hi, here's a gun.
Yeah.
Get in the car.
Pretty much. Hey, get in the cab. Three other guys come in.
Right now, the way the light is from your phone shining on your face just looks so fucking ominous.
I'm here for your soul.
Oh, sorry.
Gather around and let me tell you the tale of...
Come for your soul!
Paul Gasari.
But no, Paul Gasari was released in 1985 in North Korea. But it didn't get a Japanese release until 1998.
And you can watch it now for free on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like we did.
Yep.
First, somehow... Basically, this movie has never been released on DVD.
No.
It looks more like this is just a VHS copy, and they've never released it since.
Maybe if they released it on, like, DVD, Kim Jong-il would, or Un or whoever would,
Kim Jong-un.
Would notice. So, like, because Korea is outlawed.
North Korea. YouTube, yeah, North Korea banned the internet.
That's how why he hasn't seen it on YouTube.
Well, people.
Well, you do know why, right? He doesn't want people watching the interview.
Yeah.
That is the only reason why he banned the internet.
I don't want people watching the interview. Because if you watch it, I'm just going to murder you anyway.
Yeah.
And your family.
Well, you already probably died of starvation.
Please don't watch it. It's a terrible film.
North Korea is scary.
Yeah.
It's pretty scary.
It's like the hell Disneyland. You never want to go.
Well, anyways, so...
And now we got the actual movie.
So, yeah, so this movie...
Eh.
So, okay.
Movie stars Korean Indiana Jones.
Okay. His name's Indy.
But no, just, okay.
Indy, as in Indiana Jones.
Okay, yeah, but there are many problems with this movie. For instance, the fucking pacing. Me and Ichi watched it together. The pacing was just nowhere. It's like, oh, the character went into prison. Next scene. He's been in prison for days. What, no fade into the scene? Or
like,
no, it's just, it feels like the same day.
There'll be stretches of the movie where nothing fucking happens, and then just, like, jump cut days later, minutes later, another jump cut days later. What the fuck is happening?
See, I don't know what...
Hey, we just won a battle. Hey, we just won a battle. Random jump cut to party, and back to battle.
See, I don't know what Paul Gasari, you and Ichi were watching, but the Paul Gasari, me and Raven were watching, we were having a blast the
entire
way.
We actually enjoyed it.
We thoroughly enjoyed this movie. We were riff-tracking
much.
Speaking of which...
I would definitely qualify this as Hilarabad.
Speaking of which, excuse me.
I'm afraid.
Well, I'm going to say this. Paul Gasari himself is a monster... Fucking awesome.
God, that thing looked cool.
It's so cool.
It was a Digimon.
Oh, no.
The soundtrack of this movie was...
Okay, I will admit the music is not that good.
The soundtrack...
Is it Puma Man bad, or...
The soundtrack consists of this. Sadly, it's not working because
the
batteries are dead.
Let the record show that Gar is bashing on a Yamaha keyboard. Which is pretty much the
not the caliber.
It was more like this.
Stab keys warp caliber.
No, it was legit the same notes. Over and oh please.
It was like
months.
It was like weirdly haunting, especially at the start. The music.
Yeah. So now we need to recreate that soundtrack on this, you know.
Something really weirded me out near the start of the movie. Like, the old man, like the blacksmith, some characters were, like, calling him uncle.
Where some of them called him father. It's like...
Yeah, and then,
who
like...
Who are you?
And then Indy is talking...
He fucked every woman in this town and
is
everybody's dad.
It's a small
town. He is
town,
the pride.
Why not? But then, like, Indy is talking to uncle, and uncle says to Indy, oh, I wanted you to marry my daughter. What?
What?
It's a small town, Itchy.
I think it was a...
Everybody's... It's like... It's like Dunville. Everybody's already related.
Or Tweed.
You want to know the sad part? Raven's right.
No, I know, because you told me.
Everyone is related somehow.
Did you ever consider that it might have been a mistranslation in the subtitles?
It's entirely possible.
It's Korean. Who the fuck knows?
It's entirely possible. This is an issue, like, in Japanese, where... It's a middle-aged man. We just referred to him using the word uncle.
Yeah.
Daniel, it's North Korean.
Yeah, yeah. It was probably something like Ochi-san.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It for
weapons
all not
important.
He's just referring to some older guy.
Did you guys notice like there was that one like messenger from the emperor who looked like that skinny messenger from the emperor from Mulan?
What?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh God, I have to see this now.
What?
Even more than I did before.
Oh, you have to see it.
I'm gonna watch this, and then the next episode, I'm probably gonna be like, so I finally saw Fogasari.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be annoying, so maybe
no, you can give us your thoughts next time.
So they want to make their weapons or whatever like that. So it's like,
it's a town
we don't have all the stuff to make weapons.
But we don't have any iron. Don't worry, we'll take
all of your fucking iron cooking tools and farming tools, and you will melt them down and make us weapons.
No, here's the weird part. Like some government dudes show up like, hey, we brought iron for you. Also, we're taking yours. Your farming tools to make weapons. Like, but you just brought some!
No. The stuff they brought was farming tools and cooking tools from other towns.
So, and yet they still stole all of theirs.
We will add to the pile. You will have no iron. You will use everything we have in this country to make weapons.
We will put it into the mountains. That way they can't find it, because apparently nobody goes up to the mountains.
Can you fucking blame them, considering what happened?
So considering the fucking timeline where this takes place in?
So, like, the female lead, Ami, or whatever, has, like, this little brother who's, like, mostly in the later half of the movie. The first time you ever see him, he's, like, standing between Indy and Ami as they're, like, talking out their issues. So, he looked like a really, really awkward third wheel type guy.
Hi!
So, I started calling him Third Wheel Coon the whole movie.
Third Wheel Coon. No, I remember seeing him later in the film where he and his sister are both in the same bed.
Yeah, which is a problem by itself.
I thought it was a chick at first. So I'm like, boob. And then she's like, that's a guy.
That's a guy. That's guy's boob. Siblings? That's third boob.
Siblings can sleep in the same bed.
Especially in a poorest fuck Korean village.
North Korean. No, this would just be Korean because this is before Korea split.
Yeah.
So...
what the fuck is this movie?
Okay, so obviously the blacksmith's like, oh, no, we can't. We need these farming tools to live, blah, blah, blah. And it's all like, right, oh, okay, oh, so you're showing fucking...
you're sassing the government. That's what I was
going to say. Yeah, for those that don't know, this movie's kind of a propaganda film about, you know, don't throw a monarchy or you'll get...
Yeah, don't take over the government.
Yeah.
And throw it...
Which is really weird.
On that note...
Yeah,
I was the one who commented about this last night when we were watching this.
Yeah.
So, hold on a minute here. You're telling me that Kim Jong-il, dictator of North Korea, the man who erased entire family trees because one person questioned his judgment, fucking not only signed off on, but helped in the production of a movie that, at its core, is about overthrowing a corrupt government that oppresses its people.
Yes.
Because...
what?
Because... this was before he went batshit crazy. Because he went batshit crazy once his dad died.
Here's the thing. I feel like, yes, I agree with you on the most part, but then you have to think about where the movie went after they overthrew the government. Oh no, now we have a giant monster that's going to devour all of the world's resources! What have we done?
We'll have to take over other countries.
If only we didn't question the government!
That
was the point.
But that point is subtle as fuck. And seriously, this movie is promoting shit I'm pretty sure he didn't want to be promoting.
He only produced.
I feel like he was so blinded by the end game point that he was trying to make.
That and you know, running a country kinda, because his dad was still in charge. Mm-hmm. So he was next in line.
But yeah, so like the uncle. Head blacksmith dude gets kidnapped because he won't comply with the soldiers. And, like, he's refusing to... like, they won't feed him, so everyone else who's in prison is like, oh, we won't eat until he gets to eat.
Yeah.
And I just imagine, like, they've all got, like, their bowls of food that they're, like, throwing down, and I just imagine, like, one dude in the back just, like, taking a couple quick bites before he throws his down.
I think we did see that, like, some guy took a scoop, like,
I don't think that actually happened, but I would have... I would have died laughing if somebody did that.
It's like in Green of Evil when the juice bars like about to collapse. Bulk, I'm still eating my ice cream. A beam falls right in front. Now I'm done.
I'm done.
So then,
the siblings throw fucking food.
Yeah, they throw food into his cell, and he's like,
throw rice up a cliff and into a jail cell window. Which is a feat by itself, I have to say.
And then, like...
that's like that to the balcony.
He, like, gathers up all the rice and he's about to eat, and he's like, no, not like this.
Not like this.
He's got the rice in his hands, which is covered in dirt now.
No.
Fuck it. I will take the rice and dirt and make a fucking toy out of it.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
How did you even come to that decision?
So Paul Gasari was created by making a doll out of rice
and using
the blood of the blacksmith's daughter. She accidentally pricked her finger with the sewing needle, and then it dropped on the figure,
That spooked the shit out of me. It's just standing there. The blood comes out, literally starts moving. I'm like, oh shit, I thought like there was gonna be like a cutaway to like a smaller set.
I love how she like after she pricked herself, she bled like just enough for this little splash to go on to
the
doll.
And then more blood.
Which by the way, like when you cut to the figure and like the blood happens on it, it's not even actual blood anymore, it's just like a little cartoon paint spill.
Yeah.
After that she's instantly better. No more blood.
Yep,
you need
Toei
animators
something.
To make huh? blood.
What?
Blood. You know why it was blood?
What?
Iron.
Oh! Good point, actually.
I'm done.
So then, are you telling me they had science in North Korea?
Koreans like to do. They're Asian.
Well, I don't know which. I don't know which one of these comments is more racist.
Vote now.
And then I went, no wait, and she joked about North Korea. not so much racist as is an unfortunate fact.
Guys, I'm afraid that once we put this video on,
Gar,
like,
on the other
North
hand.
Korean agents are going to
come
here.
We just said they don't have the internet.
Right, thank God.
If they're not going to go after Tobuscus, they won't go after us.
So, they might not. Pretty sure Kim Jong-un does.
So it starts eating, like, the sewing needle, whatever, like that. And then they're like, oh, let's name it Paul Gasari. He'll be our little friend. And then, like, they go to sleep,
it's underneath the blanket.
No,
it's not that they named it Paul Gasari.
They named it after the legend.
The creature that eats iron.
Okay.
But, yeah, I thought it was, like, hilariously stupid that they tucked it in.
What, is this a YouTube video?
That's adorable. I want to see that.
This thing was straight up a Digimon. Like, that, like the little tiny little thing was its in training form. It wakes up the next morning in its rookie form. The human-sized version is the champion.
It
and
took
the giant
form.
Version is the ultimate.
I,
and when it's on fire, that's the mega form.
I'm sorry, but when it takes the farming tools in, like, one of the scenes when it's, like, fully grown, or not fully grown, like...
Champion level?
Like, kid size.
Oh,
it takes
level?
The farming tools and just walks off. It's like,
yep.
Okay.
You
gonna go do some farming?
I'm gonna take this to my eating pile.
So then, like, it bites the door lock or whatever. Like, it escapes, and they're trying to find it, and they don't find it for a little bit. And then, like some grandma or something and her kid, like,
just
the
generic old lady who not once, not twice, but at least three times runs up to someone more important and complains about something.
Yeah.
Every small town in a monster movie needs one.
Yeah, and she's getting beaten or whatever like that, and then, like, the son's like, no, mom, no! And
I
they're like, oh, you better tell us where the fucking bandits are, this woman is, or we're gonna kill your mom!
That's
no!
That scene where they were torturing her?
And they tortured her because she's also the mother of the leader of the bandits.
When they were torturing her...
Tell us where your
other
son is.
I swear to God, until she talked, I thought that was a man.
No, I knew that was a woman. So then... They go to, like, the bandits in the mountain or whatever, which there's a fuck ton of them.
Good.
Like, it's like, oh, your mom's being tortured or whatever for information to find out where you are. And then you just see, like, 100 other guys just stand beside Inde, just being like, whoa, wait, what? Mom's kidnapped? Mom's kidnapped?
They torturing your mother? Fuck them.
So they just... They rush into the fucking camp, and there's like hundreds of these fucking guys. They're like, where are you when, like, the blacksmith got kidnapped?
Me
like,
in prison.
And, yeah, they were all in prison, Lane.
They were all the guys, most of them were the guys who were refusing to eat until the old man came.
Like I said, the pacing is so fucked up in this movie.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
You guys kept track of the plot way the fuck better than I did.
Oh yeah, and then like one of them was about to, Inde was about to be like or you know
Inde
whatever. Inde was about to be
Inde.
Like executed by
oh,
like
he got
beheading.
Executed.
No, and
oh,
like
yeah, he did.
I love the executioner too. He was just like and then just literally out of nowhere, Paul Gasari just like slightly like probably like the size of like a lizard. Just, like, jumps up, grabs the sword, and breaks it off.
I love how right before the executioner's about to strike, he, like, first, like, taps the guy's neck with his sword. He's like, yeah, I'll give you a good practice stab.
Yay!
Oh, boy!
And then just, yeah, Paul Gasari, like, bites his face, and I'm like, holy fuck!
How ironic.
He probably had, like, a metal implant in him or on his face or something. He's just like, I don't know.
Was medical technology that good in that time period?
Fuck knows.
I don't think that existed back then.
So then just, like, over time, like, Paul Gasari just gets bigger, overtime. And then eventually they're just, like, he gets fucking kaiju, like, level.
No, he
it was ultimate level.
He goes from child size to teenage size.
Yeah.
Like I've been
to
saying.
To Barney size.
Rookie, champion, and ultimate. And then when he's on fire, that's his mega.
No,
can
then
we have a Barney version of Paul Gasari?
No.
Just paint Philip Paul purple.
Gasari.
Barney, sorry.
Bulgasarni.
Okay, the thumbnail
Bulbasarni.
Just the thumbnail just needs to be a picture of Bulgasari and then just Barney's head photoshopped over him.
Yes. Genius.
No, it's not. This is like the second time we photoshopped someone else's head over.
Because Photoshop is fun.
So what we find out is that Bulgasari, since he was created with the blood of Ami. He can't disobey her, and so she has to follow her every word. So she's like, she's about to get, like, kidnapped or something like that, and then Paul Gasari comes out and, like, helps her and then brings her back, and they're like, oh, what the fuck is that? It's like, no, it's okay, Paul Gasari's a friend. He, you know what? He'll help us fight the government. And it's like, all right, and then they just go and start, like, fighting, like, barracks full of soldiers and stuff, and then eventually you just see, like, this...
Attack on Titan theme song.
You just see this horrible, just bunch of guys in front of a screen, and you just see Paul Gasari just walking along the screen.
That
just like,
scaling did not work.
Yeah, well. No. Like, they tried.
Hell, the octopus fighting...
was better.
In King Kong versus Godzilla was better.
Yeah.
And that came out 20 years before this.
Yeah. So then, like, word gets to the Emperor or whatever like that about this.
Not the
and,
new Emperor, remember.
Well, okay, yeah, the new
Emperor. Changes.
Yeah.
Halfway
so then
the
he's like, oh, what the fuck? Like, why can't my soldiers do anything? Is there any general who can do this? And then General Iman, I think his name is.
Iman.
Yeah, just comes in and he's just like, I will do it. I will destroy these bandits. And or, like, what their later nickname is the Farmer's Army.
The farmy.
Which I like.
The
farmy.
The farmy.
That's great.
So, the farmy are coming. The farmy are coming.
I'm looking at my list of notes for this movie, and like 99% of it is shit that doesn't make sense unless you have full context. And I barely remember anything in this movie, so I'm looking at all these notes about hilarious shit that happened, and I don't remember any of it.
But yeah, just
the
like,
white advisor shrieks like Morty. He's got a sword! Fucking stab it! The screaming kid is Shocker!
Made a door.
Oh, yeah,
and then you just got like the many times that they're like, Bogusario!
The new general looks at a cue card off screen.
It's like the sound.
That one eye patch general. How the fuck do farmers have siege weaponry?
Alright. No.
I think I just got shot, bro! Oh, and the terrible, terrible sword clashing sound.
Yeah.
They sounded like dollar store weapons.
My favorite thing in this whole movie, when the fucking general's like, I will wipe out those farmers. They're just farmers. Damn those farmers. They're so weak, what with their upper body strength, stamina, and knowledge of the land.
Yeah!
Proceed to get their asses handed to them.
How did
by, like,
this happen?
Yeah, like logs and boulders.
Yeah.
They like push up the mountain. And they, like,
big rocks! Throw downhill!
I threw a rock at him.
Yeah,
it
so
was
like
a very big rock.
So like the general's first like strategy is okay, I'm just gonna send my army in and just to fucking attack these guys head on. They get their asses whooped by like the farmers like throwing like rock boulders down at them, logs. Hell, they like close a bunch of soldiers in with like a wall of spears on either side and just like crush them.
That was the siege weaponry I talked about.
Yeah,
just...
it was a makeshift weapon, so it was pretty clever.
Just,
so then
they cage up Paul Gasari, which doesn't work. They're like, you know
oh
what?
My god.
We'll they, bury him. It's like,
we have your we have
not
your
yet.
Woman. Get in the cage.
Yeah, no, not yet. But so then the general's like, okay, fuck. Sending my army didn't work. the fuck do we do now? And, like, his advisor's like, well, what we do is we'll just wait for them to, like, starve, and we'll surround the mountain, and if any of them try to escape, we'll just fucking ambush them and kill them.
Really?
But at this point, you just see, like, the farmers, like, just gutting and, like, cutting, like, horse meat and stuff, and just, like, gathering food from, like, the battle and stuff, and just, like,
just
gathering
randomly
supplies.
Randomly, they have
yeah.
it on screen.
These
farmers are fucking smart as hell.
It's like War Planet of the Apes, man.
Yeah.
They're so getting smarter every battle.
So then, like, yeah, Paul Gasari gets, like, big enough where he's just, like, fucking shit up, and he's just doing a lot of damage.
Ultimate
and
level.
So then the Emperor's like, you gotta fucking find a way to, like, defeat this monster, or whatever, like that. So
well,
then somehow, somehow through some bullshit reason, the advisor's like, well, I heard that the Pogasari was made from a drop of this woman's blood, and that this woman, he can't disobey the voice of this woman.
And I sit there like, how the fuck do you know that?
How did you know that?
I read the script.
I just
love how the guy's like, I've heard that monsters have weaknesses.
Yeah, there's a legend that giant monsters have weaknesses. And it's like, how? Oh.
Just cue Professor Oak. Some are weak to fire, others ice.
If you have a problem,
punch it. Metal? Just punch it.
Computer doesn't work? Punch it. Afraid of the dark?
Punch it.
So they like, they're able to kidnap Ami, and then, like, the general's like, oh, if you want to save the woman, Pogasari, get in that fucking cage!
How
and
they make
Ami's
a cage
like,
that big?
And then, yeah, like, 50, so like 50 to 100 times throughout this fucking
this
movie.
This is another case where days passed in an instant.
days passed by a snap of the...
Wait, apparently already at 52 minutes, 50 seconds of this movie, we already have our thumbnail, apparently.
The really good shot of his face.
Yeah, the shocked face, like, oh.
But yeah, I love how when he, like, gets in the cage and they close it behind him, you see the cage, like, bounce, like, oh yeah,
yeah.
That's definitely locked.
No,
definitely.
And from scaling it first, like, when you see it, like, from a distance, it doesn't look like it's big enough to fucking hold it.
Just, okay, guys, now remember, the locks are on the inside.
And how do we get in?
Fuck!
So then they pull, hold... unleash hell, and they like set him on fucking fire.
And
but then you watching this, and me, I'm watching this, I'm just like, wait, he's made of metal, right? Yeah. He's just gonna heat up, isn't he? Yeah. Just heats up. So they try escaping, like, their boats and swimming in the water, and he boils them to death. Yeah, he goes into the water, and he's so hot that he boils the water and just boils them to death. And I was like, that's good continuity.
No, just, damn!
And also, like, we get, like, some shots where, like, where you just see, like, Pogasari's feet or whatever
fucking
like that.
Drunk-ass motherfucker sitting around.
I just like how when he, like, explodes out of the cage, and, like, you see him, like, rising, my immediate thought was, we need dinosaur power now! There were several shots like that could have been lifted right from Power Rangers or Z-Rangers.
But yeah, and there's, like, a lot of shots where he's, like, lazing around, and then, like, Ami goes up to him, and she's like, Pogasari, like, we need trouble. He's just like, what do you want?
I'm up. Fuck.
Do it this afternoon.
He was fucking hammered in one of these scenes when basically they get, like, a bunch of priests. Because it's like,
the exorcist?
Yeah, the
Jesus
exorcist.
Jesus Christ.
When he's walking around, he's like fucking plastered. He's like,
No, but you know what? The, like, detailing that they put into, like, his face movements was really impressive.
Limitless budget.
But, like, so they come up with the exorcist plan on top of their existing plan to literally Team Rocket the fucking thing and drop it in a hole.
Bury it.
You're gonna drop it in a hole and bury it. Why do you also need exorcists?
No. It was.
And why did the exorcist go to the immediate plan of, we must exorcise the spirit of the dead blacksmith from it?
But here's
where did that info come from? No one has stated that. Not even the good guys that its spirit came from the dead blacksmith.
Really think of this, Lane. Remember in Godzilla versus Hedorah? One way that Hedorah beat Godzilla was by putting him into a hole.
Yeah, he buried him.
Bulgasari was put him in a hole.
Yep. No, but yeah.
What, do you have a kaiju problem?
No.
Put him in a hole.
The reason they used the exorcist were to, like, hypnotize and put him in a trance and make
so
him just fall in.
So he would just hammer him.
Gonna dig me a hole.
How did they dig a hole that deep? Hey, how did they dig a hole so deep in a day?
I know, right? This is another instance of the pacing being fucked up.
Army on it.
What is this, holes?
We dug really fast.
Dig it
so,
up.
Well, I mean, when you have 10,000 people at your disposal, you might be able to get a good amount of a big ditch.
We got the cast of holes to dig the hole.
That hole looked like it was a fucking kilometer deep.
So, but yeah, so then...
Fucking center of the earth.
Paul Gasari gets...
All the slaves they used to dig it were still at the bottom.
So Paul Gasari just falls down. Because
they
them.
Couldn't fucking get out after they finished digging.
I just I just like to imagine, like, they're at the bottom, like, alright guys, let's set up base camp. Pogasari drops on them.
Yeah.
Shit!
Fuck! So then, the entire movie, every time they did a thing where they were, like, firing siege weapons at the fucking farmer's army, yeah. I'm just like, these aren't actors, and those aren't fake weapons. We just pulled a bunch of people out of prison and fucking just threw
shot
them
at
the shot.
This is Kim Jong-il.
I can
right?
see that.
It's like, we wanted realism. We just pulled a bunch of people out of prison.
They were on death row anyway.
All these people on death row. We just put them out into a field. It's like, okay, if you run over that way, you might be able to get away.
But if you run
free.
That far away, there's a gun.
No. It's run that way to freedom if you can survive that whole way.
If you survive our filming.
Welcome to North Korean Wipeout.
North Korean Hunger Games.
North Korea.
So
North Korea.
So actual Hunger Games.
So then,
North Korea.
So then Paul Gasari gets buried. So then he's like, oh, we gotta find a way to like rest. I gotta get to him or something like that.
The
so
drop
she's
of
like,
blood.
No. So she's like, okay, I need to sneak in here somehow. I'm gonna disguise myself as a prostitute.
Concubines. Ugly concubines.
Yeah, so like, she like disguised herself and the guy's like, oh, wait. What's her story? And she's like, well, she's new and she's the general's plaything for tonight. He's like, alright, we'll go through. And she's like, yeah, move it, whore. And just like, whoa. And but yeah, so eventually she like sneaks her way and gets like distracts guards with like some wine or something. And then like
more wine?
Oh, yeah, and then she like fucking like slits her whole fucking forearm and just drops a fucking bunch of blood into the pile of rocks that Paul Gasari's.
More blood, more power.
And then, yeah, Pogasari just, like, jumps his way out of the fucking rocks, and then he just, like, continues on his rampage, and the general's just like, well, fuck, now what do we do? And the emperor's like, oh, fuck, and it's like, oh, well, we have our scientists working on, like, this new siege weapon that can, like, shoot things.
It's called a gun.
Oh, by the way, the joke that I made while we were watching about the scene of them being prostitutes is... Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge.
Imagine M-U-L-A-N.
Oh, God.
But yeah, they literally create the cannon.
Oh, and they have rocket spears.
Fucking rocket spears.
Which you see them launch, and then they fire Pogasari, and then you see
like,
them go, bing,
it's like,
bounce right off
God.
Of
I swear to God, it looked like they had a fucking triple-ging arrow ballista on top of the castle, and I'm like... Oh, I don't see a firing mechanism, though. How the fuck is that? They literally light the back end of the spear on fire, and it shoots at Paul Gasari.
No, I'm like, the fucking
rocket spear? I mean, they have, like, a spearhead on a fucking firework or something?
Yeah,
I don't fucking know.
You can't have a kaiju...
But they don't explode. They just kind of just ping off them.
It's because you can't have a kaiju film without, like, a shot of missiles firing off of a launcher.
No, it's just hilarious how, like, it legit... bounce
bing.
Off of him and just that sound effect. Just
ping, ping, ping.
Like
oh,
it.
Fuck, shoot him in the eye.
Actually stab Bulgasari in the eye
with
the spear.
And then, like,
oh, hey, it worked.
And then they do close-ups
and
then
he's
oh,
just
Shay's
like,
pissed.
And then Bulgasari's like, I only need one eye to see you, bitch!
And then, no, and then, like, you, like, see, like, a close-up of his face and he's, like, all covered in blood and, like, yeah, he's missing an eye. And it's like, holy
but
shit, that's fucking scary. Then literally cuts to another shot. Completely fine!
Okay.
No blood, has both eyes.
Apparently he has a healing factor.
Wonder why? Because they shot the iron balls at him with the cannons. He ate it.
And then
spit one back at them.
Yeah.
Like,
whoop. No, so,
right back at you.
No. So to quote the best character of all time.
Pretty much. That is what that sounded like.
Here's your daily dose of Garisms. When the ballista got destroyed, Gar was like, oh no, our Batistas!
Our Dave Batistas! firing Drax at him.
Just dagger first.
Oh my god.
But no, it's like, but yeah, Paul Gasari reaches the temple, kills the emperor.
No. He reaches the capital city where, like, the emperor is being held and everything, and just fucks that entire city off.
It's probably the most hilarious thing. The emperor hides himself
in a curtain
and spins around. It's like, I'm already dead. I'm dead.
I'm in my happy place. He can't find me here.
I was hoping. Squish. Steps right on him.
Dead.
And just, dead. And then abrupt cut. Abrupt to that
celebrating party.
Yeah, to a party. Another
abrupt cut to Bulgasari just kind of rampaging around the city again.
Yep.
Just like, I need more iron. Oh, let's give one of the cannons. Yeah. Picks up the cannon. Fucking takes off the wood finish on it.
I love how he just, like, taps it and it, like, snaps clean in half.
Then the writers realized,
they wrote themselves into a corner.
Yeah, it's like, he's supposed to be a protector, but then it kind of backfired.
Wait, what are we doing now? The government's dead.
Who's in charge?
The farmers.
It's more so... Indy got...
Nor Farmy.
Indy got captured, and then he got hung. It was pretty shitty ending.
Yeah. He pretty much just, I'm supposed to be a major character in this movie, hangs him. Oh, okay.
That's more of something I believe a movie made by Kim Jong-il would have.
So basically...
The leader of the bandits fucking died. What'll happen to you.
Question
me and you get your throat cut.
The farmy gave Paul Gasari all the weapons. He's still hungry. Alright, let's give him all our tools.
But we need those to live. Back to the beginning of the movie we go.
So then... It cuts to, like, them going back to...
But then there's, like, the whole thing. It's like, if we run out of this, we'll have to go to another country.
Ami starts, like, making amazing logic leaps. Oh, so if he can't have our iron, he's gonna have to start going to other countries. And we'll eventually extinguish humanity!
So then she goes to Paul Gasari, and he's, like, lazing around with his weapon.
Could you
have a little self-control with your eating, please?
Could you please, like, not...
Moderation...
So then she does this thing where she, like, summons him with a bell.
What is it called in
Eugene? A gong.
Yeah, a gong.
It was a giant bell.
It was a giant ceremonial bell.
So then she decides...
This one gets disturbing real
fast. The minute I saw that, I knew where it was headed.
Yeah, no, me too.
I was just like, what?
I was like, so she goes, hides in the bell. Paul Gasari grabs it. Eats it, crushes it first. I'm like, okay, she has to be dead at that point. No, she's still alive. Gets eaten, and because of that, Bulgasari, like, busts apart and breaks into pieces.
He turns back into clay.
Yep. Hey, Raven.
Good job, Finster. You made another shitty monster.
Raven.
Yep.
When he turned to stone so instantly, didn't it remind you of, you know, a film that we both watched? Paul also saw it as well. Yeah, you know what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
How about you say it?
Do you guys really want to know?
Yeah.
Lane, this will be horrible. This is how Shin Godzilla died. They legit, like, poured, like, hydrogen or, like, oxygen into his, like, body. Like, they literally toppled buildings and, like, explosions at him so that he fell over. They put something in his blood system, which made him freeze to death. Yeah, so he basically, like, turned to stone.
Yeah. Oh, okay, fuck.
But then, like, rookie-level Bulgasari, like, walks out of his own molted shell.
Walks out of his own corpse.
Yeah.
And then decides,
Lavos, motherfucker.
I'm gonna turn to a spirit. Soul to revive her.
But then we don't see it.
And then credits roll before she wakes up, so we have no idea if she's actually survived.
Then what the fuck was that for?
Well, remember, like, what Lane
said. Cue the Yamaha piano music.
Yeah. Like Lane mentioned, she, like, whatever she said, Paul Gasari had to listen to. And her last words were to stop
this. Eat me!
It was legit to stop all this. So, that's what he did.
Here, you can have your blood back.
There you go. And that was Paul Gasari.
No, it should have just been, like, the blacks, it was the blacksmith's soul, and he wakes up in his daughter's body and just, I live again, and I am a woman!
I have boobs!
Oh, God, no. That, you're giving me your name flashbacks.
I haven't watched that yet, thank you.
So, that was Paul Gasari, and I'm, for me, honestly, I enjoyed this movie far more than I expected it to. Because, no, how everyone was describing it, like, I thought it was going to be, like, this really, like, low-budget, shitty fucking movie. And surprisingly, it wasn't.
I would qualify it under hilarabad, but I definitely wouldn't be happy to watch it again.
I wouldn't mind watching it again. I really wouldn't. Like,
Paul Gasari... I guess you could say I'm Paul Gasari, I watched it.
Oh.
Also, like, the fucking 150 times they kept going, Pogasaria!
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 Oh, trust me, Lane. Pogasaria! It's like how in every Gamera film, you have to have the child screaming at the top of its lungs, Gamera! Gamera!
Godzilla!
No.
Also,
it's Gojira.
Also, it was written, like, I think I said it before, but, like, I like where they kept, like, showing, like, when they were showing him, like, down at their level, like, it was just, like, his feet.
Yeah.
He just had, like, feet there. And, like, afterwards, like, after, like, he boiled all those soldiers alive, they, like, went to go touch him, and it was like, ow! You're hot.
And, like, Ami kept doing it.
And yeah.
He kept going, like, ow.
Oh, can I not touch
ow,
you?
Ow, right. Ow. God damn it.
Like,
I kept doing that.
It's like me at pizza night when I keep touching the pan.
But, overall, I liked Paul Gasari as a monster. He's fucking cool.
God,
like, he looked cool. He was... super busted. Like, I don't know who would win in a fight against Godzilla. If you want to win in a fight against
Atomic
Godzilla.
Atomic breath. Boom. Right for the chest.
I guess.
Dead.
I don't know.
Oh, he'd find a way.
Proceeds
no, put him into...
all of the iron in Tokyo and grow way bigger than Godzilla and just wipe him out.
No,
that's,
you know what
we
do?
Get
he throws... no.
Goes
he would,
burning
he would,
mega form.
No, he would throw him into an active volcano because
that's
lava it. Melts metal. Fire heats it up, yes, but lava melts it.
Fire hot! The professor will help.
Woo! Fire indeed hot!
But...
I give this movie a watch it.
A watch
at
it?
At least
a,
give it a one...
Complete
viewing.
It!
Pretty much.
No regrets.
Where you fit... Nah, it doesn't deserve no regrets.
No, I know.
It's not 100%.
No.
I have regrets.
Regrets?
Regrets.
Well, no, if you do... want to, you know, watch
it's
this.
On YouTube.
It's on, just literally type up Paul Gasari and it's the first fucking thing that shows
yeah.
up in the
P-O-L-G-A-S-A-R-I.
If you want to actually go into the backstory of all this, like, nonsense with Kim Jong-il kidnapping people, you
make
can watch... Yeah, you can watch...
I guess you have nothing else to do.
Yeah, you can watch the 2016 documentary The Lovers and the Despot.
Despot.
No, it's D-A-S-P-O-T.
Despot.
Okay.
Fixing the despot.
It that basically talks about their whole... It doesn't really focus on Paul Gasari, but focuses
despot.
On, like, them being captive. Or...
Is it D-A-S or D-E-S?
D-E-S.
Yeah, it's despot.
Yeah. Or you can read the book, A Kim Jong-il Production, The Extraordinary True Story of the Kidnapped Filmmaker, his star actress, and a young dictator's rise to power.
Sounds like the book's better than the movie.
Yeah.
Movie!
And it's currently in stock on Amazon.
But yeah, I highly recommend you watch Paul Gasari at least once. It's I think it's worth just one viewing.
If you enjoy monster movies,
yeah.
Sure, it's worth a laugh.
Yeah, Paul Gasari himself is a really fucking cool monster, so it's worth just watching just for him. So...
Like, I'm glad that we got to have, like, this giant-ass conversation about...
Yeah, no, I'm glad we got to talk about
this. But next week...
I'm sorry Saul wasn't here.
Yeah.
Well. I'm sorry Saul wasn't here, too.
I'm kind of bummed out that he wasn't here as well. But actually, if there's one person we need to thank Mike. Because if it weren't for Mike...
This is our friend of ours,
yeah,
by the way.
Mike's a good friend of ours. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't have known that this movie existed.
Okay.
Because he told me about this.
Oh. I thought you just knew about it.
Nope.
You know who else just knew about this? Eric.
Eric did?
Yeah, I know. I started mentioning it, and he brought it up and, like, filled in the blank. I was like, oh.
Okay.
Jeez, you know. Okay.
I'm still questioning how they got a copy of this movie.
Anyways,
next week on Radio Sentai Cast Ranger, we celebrate the big 150.
I can't believe we're fucking got to 150 episodes.
Next week, that's we insane. Celebrate episode 150, and I may or may not be here.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a red caster?
Yes, yeah, but it's also the birth of his child.
Oh, probably yeah,
at
true.
Some point in the next week.
I know.
If that does happen, we will legit postpone the 150th episode.
Probably.
Uh-huh.
No. But we'll find out.
We already have to do a double episode the next week, so.
Oh, yeah.
We'll find out.
Sorry. Anyways, everyone listening, thank you for listening, watching, sharing, favoriting, subscribing. Check out the primary source of our hijinks at castranger.podbean.com. Check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/rscastranger. Tweet at us at AC Studios. Check out our newly revealed Discord for public that has public access so you can chat with other listeners. And please check out our Patreon and consider pledging to help us make the show better for you. Thank you all for joining us for another week, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening.
Bogusalia!
Camera! Go right!
This episode of Cast Ranger has been brought to you by the glorious donations of our cast patrons, Oliver Nilsson, Joel Maroney, and Chris Laird. Thanks very much.